We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I'm the host, as always. And joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
Recovering from being a bit sick after watching some All-22. Thanks a lot to Texas A&M versus Miami. Whoever was in charge of filming that, you're fired. Yeah, that was awful. That was the Bourne supremacy all over again. That was the worst of the Marvel Cinematic Universe's shaky cam. That was rough. I felt sick. I turned it off. But I'm back, and I'm pumped. Because the draft is 2 days away.
My least favorite All-22 experiences in terms of watching it in the NFL are the Bears, because the Bears don't really have All-22. They just like basically have like a slightly elevated broadcast view. In college, though, South Carolina's end zone views are like really like cut off. So like basically if anything happens in the back half of the end zone, you can't see what is happening. You have no idea what's happening. So South Carolina, Chicago Bears, do better.
Yeah, Chicago Bears, that was a rough one. I think I remember experiencing that for the first time. It was Bears, Chargers, 2019.
Yeah.
Rivers' final year. That was rough.
Yeah. Okay, so today we're just doing a Q&A today. This is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys fire in some great questions. I'm sure you will. Super chats, always appreciated. That's how you get your answer to be 100% guaranteed on tonight's show. This show is presented by our friends over at Prize Picks, the best and easiest way to use daily fantasy, where you can get a deposit match up to $100 over at prizepicks.com/guilty, code guilty at checkout. So basically anything is on the table tonight. If you have a draft question, if you have a film question, I saw somebody earlier asking about like NFL personalities, like if you want us to talk about our favorite podcasters or whatever that we listen to, that's definitely something we can discuss. So anything you want to talk about, I'm sure we'll get to the end and have some food questions, but obviously we're 2 days away from the draft, so you know, the more draft questions the better, I would say.
And then for those listening, watching, Alex is asking what time will the stream begin on Thursday. We will kick things off at 4:30, so we'll be on for a little bit before the draft, lead up to it, let everybody jump in, get excited, and then hopefully five picks later, they make a selection.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff leaking out. There's going to be more stuff that comes out. I think it's like Bill Belichick said on the Pat McAfee show that basically like stuff that comes out around 48 hours before the draft, which is obviously like right now, that's when things really start to get solidified. So like we talked about yesterday, the Chargers and the Cardinals are like basically in the same exact spot. They're waiting for somebody to make them an offer they can't refuse. Otherwise, they'll stick and pick and gladly take one of these wide receivers. I think. We'll see what the Chargers do if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes at number four. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like I said, any questions you guys want to hit us with, feel free and go ahead. And we'll start with the first super chat of the day from Mr. Gary Rockwell. He says, hey, guys, over or under the Chargers acquire at least two more picks in 2024 in rounds 2 through 4 specifically?
Over or under 2? I'll take the under on that one. I would say technically even, maybe, but I'll take the under on that one. I think if you say throughout, like if you say how many picks they acquire in total, I would maybe take the over, but just in 2024 and just between rounds 2 and 4. I'd say the under, although I'd love more than that.
Yeah, so they're at 9 picks right now. And specifically in rounds 2 through 4 is the under part here for me. I think they get one extra day 2 pick, and then you're probably talking about like another day 3 trade. I think this team gets to 11 picks. I think that's kind of the sweet spot in some way or another. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what we end up seeing happen. So I think 11 picks is my official guess for how many they make.
I'll say 10 because that gives them the flexibility to also trade up.
That's totally fair. That is totally fair. Next one here from Gabriel Caldera. He says, offensive lineman in the first round, who would you pick? Fuanga, the Mauler, Fautanu, the versatile lineman, or Alt, the quote-unquote best lineman. As an aside here, I need to know who the first person to say Fautanu as Fautanu, and that caused every other person of draft media to run with it. Like, we're 3 days out, and we're still getting Fautanu, and I don't understand how anybody can read Fautanu and read that as Fautanu. So whoever you are, I don't like the way you pronounce words, but Tyler, your thoughts on this question here?
Yeah. Philippe Below to Amsterdam. Like anything they threw in different letters, it was Nwosu. No, that was okay, but he had a couple of funny ones. I mean, if you're picking at 5, I'm taking Joe Alt. And of course, Duke Manyweather is going to support his guy, but he came out today and said, I forget which podcast it was, apologize. He said that, you know, Alt should have no problem. And there's something about the consistency that Alt has that lends himself to being able to work on either side. And that's true. Like Joe Alt's film, it's almost boring because it's very consistent. So I think that he could do the same thing on the right side. It'll take some time, but it's the right coaching staff for it. Overall, though, my vote would be to trade back. Probably go Latham for them. But like that's the way I would go. But at 5, Alt.
Yeah, at 5, it's Alt. I think that's to me, he's comfortably offensive tackle 1 right now. There was this thing, like Rich Eisen has said several times that he saw Alt switch sides at the combine and he didn't look as comfortable. And there's a lot of Chargers fans who have run with that. It's the combine. Like, I don't think that matters whatsoever. And this is a guy who's played offensive line for like 3 years. I think I'm okay with him potentially making this switch over to the right side and seeing what that would look like. Again, as we've covered, this is not our preference, but if you're making me take an offensive lineman at 5, it's Alt. He's the best one. Just in terms of like a potential trade down, like my favorite possible pick is probably Graham Barton because
I'd agree. He
could play any of the 5 spots, maybe not left tackle full time, but I think he has like legit 4 positional versatility. And some people think that about Fautanu, but there's visual record of Graham Barton playing center. Like we know that he can do it because he did it his freshman season at Duke. So Barton to me would just be like, hey, like let's get the best 5 out here. And you trust he can switch positions because he's done that several times before. So Barton would just be like trade down, like favorite scenario. I think that would be Graham Barton. Maybe not at 11, but just if I have to pick one, that's probably my guy.
Yeah, that was my follow-up question. So because we've discussed scenarios in the top 15. Maybe it's trading back with the Saints at 14 or wherever they are, or two AFC sure. West rivals at 12 and 13. Top 15 feel okay?
At 15, I'd be cool with it. At 11, my thing with taking any of these offensive linemen is like, okay, so hypothetically, let's say they take J.C. Latham and he plays right guard for you in 2024 and is really good at right guard and just stays there for the rest of his career. I'm not opposed to drafting like good football players, but you're essentially trading out of a generational wide receiver prospect for a right guard at number 11. So that's my thing with offensive line in the first round is Alt, I think, is comfortably starting your starting right tackle. The rest of these other guys, you're probably trying to play them at guard in 2024. And there's obviously a chance that whoever you take in this scenario just stays there permanently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, again, like if you end up with an all pro, it doesn't matter in the end, I guess.
Right.
But yes, trading off of, let's say, Marvin Harris Jr. for your all pro right guard, which is awesome.
You know, not quite the same thing.
Not quite the same thing. You'd have to root for Marvin Harrison Jr. to not do well.
Yeah.
Which I will not do.
Yeah, I will not do either. So it's just tough for me. Like I am the offensive line guy. Like you all obviously also enjoy offensive line play, but it's just like a value perspective for me. If you take Alt, fine, whatever. He's at least an offensive tackle, but everybody else that you could possibly take is potentially a guard and a permanent guard at that. So
mm-hmm.
I just don't know. And then also it's like, okay, so if you kick that guy out to offensive tackle in 2025, then you're back to needing a starting right guard. Like I don't love that logic that is being presented out there by some draft media folks.
Yeah, it's very complicated. The whole offensive line discussion is very complicated. You're either benching Sawyer or you're benching Pipkins, and it's just more complicated than a receiver. And if you haven't done it yet, go read Arjun's article that he put out today detailing the difference between, you know, taking a receiver at 5 or a tackle at 5, the pros and cons of each. Like, it was a really, really well done article. So I checked that one out.
Yeah. And I feel very comfortable about finding a starting caliber guard on day 2. I like the receiver class. It's just like apples to apples. Like, I don't think you need like an all pro guard, whereas like you don't have any legitimate wide receiver run right now. So these are all pros and cons that we've discussed and that the team, I'm sure, has discussed as well. Message here from Ben S. He said, good day, Gat crew. I wonder if he's Australian. That's good day. Probably an Australian thing. Anyways, just wanted to get in before the chat goes nuts with questions. Say thanks for the coverage of the draft. I'm a new dad that's been spending plenty of odd hours up, and the vids have been great company. Enjoy the weekend, and I'm sure I'll be able to swing by at some point in their lives. Appreciate that, Ben. Congratulations. Hope everything is going well with the new baby. Hope the wife is nice and healthy, baby too. So appreciate the kind words, and congratulations on the new baby.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm sure the baby's first words, if you're listening to us, will be like EPA per play. so keep working with that one.
Pass blocking efficiency rating.
Yeah, yeah, PBE, PBE. That one, right? Yeah.
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 Okay.
I can definitely find a couple of questions too.
Yeah, yeah. There was one that I saw.
I like this one from Joseph. I'll get to some others, but who in the draft doesn't fit the Chargers? Okay. I really like that question because of people talking about like so many different players. I have to start with Braden Fisk over and over again. Where I just don't know that he's a particular fit. Not that the film is very bad, and I just watched him play, oh my goodness, Christian Mahogany in Boston College, and I want to bump up Fisk's grade just a little bit there, now knowing who he was going up against. But I just don't know if he fits them. But if they choose, we don't really know yet what this is going to look like, but based on guesses, I don't think Fisk quite fits. He's about heavy enough, but it's the kind of the rest of the profile that is that doesn't really fit what they were looking for, I would think.
Yeah, I think there's a role in this defense for like a gap shooter, but you have to at least show enough against the run, mm-hmm. like in terms of taking on double teams and anchoring down and setting the line of scrimmage, where that would give me pause. Like, that's a very different conversation for a Byron Murphy or a Jerzon Newton, in my opinion. Both of those guys can set the line of scrimmage and take on double teams, and I mean, Byron Murphy has some insane reps where even he'll go down to like one knee and mm-hmm. take on double teams. True. And he mm-hmm. played, he was their nose tackle more often than Devondre Sweat was,
yes.
which is super annoying from that perspective. But yeah, I think that's a good one. I still think that like the character thing really will matter for this team. It mattered for the Ravens, and the Chargers ownership group is still the same. Like I can't imagine that they are completely comfortable taking on character risks at this point. Mm-hmm. So the known ones, that's obviously like Jermaine Burton and Tavondre Sweat. I think those kind of profiles will be off their boards personally.
A lot of the offensive tackles that are more movers, athletic types.
Yeah.
Don't really see them.
Yeah. Olu Fashanu is not a Chargers tackle. I can pretty comfortably say that.
Some of the receiving tight ends that are just pure receiving tight ends. Like if you don't also have great hands or maybe make contested catches, like I don't know that Sanders is one of their tight ends. Jaheim Bell, like they just let Gerald Everett go. They have the same RAS profile. Receiver remains to be seen. Corner, I don't know that a non-tackler would be their type.
Yeah, no.
So if you don't come up and hit, because Minter's defense, it's all about the system. And if you're not a part of the system that rallies to the football, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Any small linebacker that can't play the run, you're out. You're not on the board. So, you know, all those guys from the SEC that can't tackle and you probably have to fit a certain size and physicality threshold at linebacker.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Trotter as well. I don't think that's a Charger pick.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Tony had this question yesterday. This is what I was looking for.
And
we didn't get to touch on it yesterday.
Yeah.
We did an hour and a half of podcasting. but Tony's question is, who's the one player that you don't take in a mock and then instantly feel regret afterwards?
That's a great one. Let me look through everyone. So part of the regret is also just not finding a player later too.
Yeah.
I do find there's a strain to find, I don't know, because like it's more of just a process thing. If I don't take a tackle by round three, it's a bit slim pickings after that, and the board like represents that. So I don't think it's necessarily a player, but if I don't take a tackle the first three rounds, it's like, well, we're just gonna do it next year.
Yeah.
It's not a great group.
No, and there's it's great at the top. Like this first round is as deep as I've ever seen. But you have Blake Fisher as kind of like the complete backstop.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just kind of like, I probably will just wait until next year. Yeah. Who's the one player? There's a lot of like our guys that we love. Like we didn't take Hunter Norzad yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like, that's one of my favorite players. Same kind of thing as you. If the Chargers leave day two without a cornerback, that's kind of just like, oh, I don't love that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you can find some starting caliber slot players on day three, but I do feel like if the Chargers want to upgrade outside corner, I think they got to do it on day two. A lot of needs for the Chargers this year. So like we took Kyrie Jackson and ours yesterday, you know, Cam Hart, who's way down the PFF board, I think on day two would be a good selection. I guess there are some like long-term bets there, like Deacon Marion Richardson on day three, but for the most part, if you don't leave day two with a outside corner, it's just kind of, it feels a little, dicey for me.
Yeah. And I even think if you don't take a receiver the first two rounds, like this class is very deep, don't get me wrong, but like Daniel Popper took Tez Walker in round three with the pick that he acquired from the Jets in his mock. And it's like, I like Tez Walker. It's fine in that range, but it's like, that's your roster. That's your receiving core room. Palmer, Johnson, Walker.
Yeah.
So that I feel the worst about, again, which is why I'd love to just solve the problem. Like I feel like the mocks are so much easier when we solve the problem at receiver immediately.
Yeah.
After that, I think it's a lot easier to work with. Because that spot needs a starter.
Yeah, like I mean, I'm higher on Jalen Polk than most, and probably same with Ricky Pearsall. The Chargers hosted Xavier Leggett on a visit. You never say never, right? But like potential wise, like if they want a legit bona fide wide receiver one, that buck probably stops at Brian Thomas Jr. for me. So that's definitely like a first round situation for the Chargers.
Yeah. And at worst, round two, like again, I like Polk, you like Polk, top 30 players for us, but you wait in round three, you're just kind of out of true developed to number one guys.
Yeah. This question from Kareem, what is your nightmare first round? I think for me, a non Joe Alt offensive lineman at five would qualify there. Again, like I just kind of talked about, like I think there's a real chance that like a JC Latham, Talise Fuanga, Troy Fautanu end up just playing permanently at guard. And so you take that player at number five, you taking a guard at fifth overall. I don't love that. Like I better become Quentin Nelson or else it's just it's like, I don't know. And even that is dicey. So that would be one. Yeah. The Chargers taking the first defensive player at five would be another one, even though I like Terron Arnold and Johnny Newton. Those are the main two that would qualify for me as a nightmare first round.
Yeah, it's tough to say nightmare for any of these guys because, like, of course, like Murphy at 11 feels okay. It's like five. I know it's a big difference, but like it's not a terrible player. But you know, even Aaron Donald went 10 or 11, so. Nightmare scenario. Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I don't believe Joe Alt at five is a nightmare scenario.
No, I don't think he qualifies for that.
No, if you take him in the top 10, like, I don't know, you don't have to listen to me or anybody else. Brandon Thorne says he's the only player worth taking in the top 10 on his grades. Like, he's worth the selection. Nightmare? I don't know. Yeah, probably one of them. Like Quinyon Mitchell at five. You know, something like that.
That's, yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, you think you can make him the best of the three, big three, yeah. I guess, corners. But, yeah, I think just defense at five is the, you know, the nightmare scenario that could also maybe happen.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I like the players, right? But it's like, in this draft where there's, three legitimately great wide receiver prospects, a really high-end offensive tackle prospect. Going defense at five, that would hurt. That would be a tough one to swallow, especially if quarterback's going one through four, and then they still take defense at five. That would be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free and shout out any questions you find. Mark wants to know the best running back you see us taking. For me, this is a round three at the earliest. I know that so. There are some people who think they could take one in the second round. So round three is the earliest for me. I see them taking one, and that's Trey Benson, maybe Jalen Wright as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooks, I don't know, because obviously they do have a starter. Now, Brooks could just go earlier, so that's a whole different story. But if he's there, you know, they do have a starter in Gus Edwards. So if Brooks is still needing to catch up and get back in the swing of things, get Ben Herbert, you know, you've got a year to make it work. Round three is the start. So whoever's in round three, I think that'll be probably it. I don't see them taking a running back in round two.
Yeah, I agree. You responded to this. So Steven asking about favorite day three interior defensive lineman.
Okay, so I still have not watched Jordan Jefferson. So unfortunately, I don't have a take there. Are we including edge rushers here or just interior?
You can include an edge rusher if you want.
Okay, well, then I'm definitely higher on Nelson Caesar than most. I like Gabriel Murphy quite a bit. He's a ton of fun. We took Cedric Johnson yesterday. That was fun, especially that late. Like, I think he's better than the 200th whatever spot he's at.
Yeah.
Let's see. Interior guys. Like, get Ben Herbert, Zion Logan, have a blast. I think Juwan Briggs is going to be a lot better than his projection because Cincinnati played him at edge rusher in 2023, so I feel like Briggs is even tweeting out clips of himself playing nose in 2022 to kind of like put that out there into the world. And so I think that, like, I think even he knows him being put at edge in 2023 was a mistake. It's not McKinley Jackson, I'll tell you that much.
No doubt. I watched him last night. That was a tough watch.
Yeah, I watched him like one of the first three guys I watched, because I was like, okay, find the biggest dude possible and watch him. Like, okay, he'll be a big run stopper, right? Yeah, he's not a run stopper. He is big. Logan Lee, of course, I like.
Yeah, I was gonna say Logan Lee would be my choice. There are some other ones that I could see going on day three, but maybe not. Like Dwayne Carter, for me is he's like a high third round grade, but I know that there's like a chance that he does go on day three. So mm-hmm. Dwayne Carter from Duke, that would be a good choice. Tyler mentioned a bunch of the sleepers ones. I have watched Jordan Jefferson. I do like his nose tackle tape quite a bit. He is able to set the line of scrimmage. He is able to anchor down. So he's a fun run stuffing defensive lineman on day three, but he could also go earlier, because it's a defensive tackle is weird, where it's like there's not a whole lot of true run defense tackles. So, you know, maybe those guys go earlier. The pass rushers like Makai Wingo, his teammate, goes later, kind of deal. So those would be my choices, but Logan Lee was a lot of fun to watch. Dwayne Carter, I have a higher grade on, but so the Chargers are, I think, are in a decent spot with defensive tackle, but you got to take one probably before round four if you want like a true day one starter.
Yeah, I agree. Super chat from Aldo Vicente. How does the next tier of wide receivers in this draft compare to our current wide receiver room? Where would Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr. or McConkey rank against or among Quentin Johnston and Palmer? Love the show. Longtime listener. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the support and the longtime listen. So I think for me, in terms of like draft grade, I think we talked about this. I would have Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Jalen Polk, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, all these guys ranked ahead of where I had Quentin Johnston.
Yeah,
as a prospect. In terms of like who would be better in 2024, I would say Palmer is better than anybody not named Brian Thomas Jr. right now. I agree. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas would be the wide receiver one for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe by like season's end that becomes Adonai Mitchell, but Adonai Mitchell is pretty he's got some refinement that needs to happen for sure from a route running perspective.
Yeah, I'd agree with there with Palmer. He would be, I guess, wide receiver five, you know, in this draft, although we currently know who he is. So we're comparing him against current Palmer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a lot of these guys after the big four dropping 130 on the Chiefs in two separate years.
Yeah.
You know, and like the only person who gave all pro Trent McDuffie trouble was Palmer. So, yeah, with Quentin Johnston, it depends. Like, it depends on 2023 Quentin Johnston in terms of what we saw in the NFL. Yeah, like a lot of these guys, I think I would probably have ahead unless he's developed tremendously. But like maybe there's more of a role for him. So like out of respect, probably over Leggett and some of these other guys, because he has been in the league. You know, like half these receivers aren't going to make it. They're going to have a worse season than Johnston just had.
Yeah.
But I would have McConkey over. I think I'd have Mitchell over as a more complete receiver. Polk, maybe he's kind of tied at that point.
Yeah, so I think there's potential for all of those guys to be better, but I would still say Palmer, like in 2024, is a better wide receiver than the bulk of the guys we could draft. And again, like nobody saw Puka Nacua coming. Like it always happens where there's one like late sleeper guy, and that could always change something, but. Mm-hmm. I think if the Chargers really want like a legit wide receiver one upgrade, it's got to be one of the first four. Mm-hmm. Brock Brandon was asking about Brock Bowers. That's funny. am I the only one concerned about Bowers' health playing in a Roman system with the combination of his already very physical play style and smaller size? So for what it's worth, he did not miss a single game as a freshman or a sophomore. He had like one injury this past season and he came back in like 3 weeks when it was supposed to be 8 weeks. So no, I'm not concerned about Brock Bowers' health.
I'm not. And he treated the SEC like children. and like, I know he's not like physically bigger than everybody. I mean, he's bigger than some because he's a tight end, but he just plays. I don't know if it's the shoulder pads or what, but some people are bigger in shoulder pads. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And he just feels like one of them. So I know he's not like a huge tight end by any means, but he had no problem flying past everyone, running over people. Like the physicality is there. Like he's the yak per reception leader, even over like neighbors and every receiver in this class.
By like a few yards.
Yeah. And it's not because he runs a 4.2. You know, it's because he'll absolutely steamroll people. So like sure, he's not your inline 40 snaps a game blocker type, but you don't draft him for that either.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a different kind of blocker. It doesn't mean he's a poor one. I've went on a rant about this on Twitter a few weeks ago. If Dalton Kincaid can block in the NFL, then Brock Bowers for sure as hell can, because Dalton Kincaid was not a very good blocker in college, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just like we're really underrating Brock Bowers at this point. I mean, like if you look at the Pro Football Focus era, the best three seasons in terms of like yak per reception and yards per route run are Bowers' freshman season, Kyle Pitts' last season, and then Brock Bowers' sophomore season, and then Brock Bowers' junior season was like fifth on the list. This guy is an all-time tight end prospect. So at five, I get your concerns about like tight end value, cost, and things like that. But this is a guy, like, to me, like no-brainer top 10 selection. He should not fall beyond anywhere close to that. Like recently, last month there were people like, oh, like the Bengals should take him at 18. I'm like, he shouldn't make it to 18. He should make it like to 11 maximum.
Yeah. So yeah, he doesn't, even the Broncos at that point would have to take him and not consider a quarterback. I mean, I don't even think he gets past the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. No. FBS Gandhi wants to know, what's your favorite draft/game day food to make?
Game day food. I don't know. Usually my mom makes the stuff anyway. So like, I don't really cook. And then, draft food. I don't know. I've just had ordered a pizza and sat here just eating a pizza.
Yeah.
Like, what's better than sitting and doing nothing, eating pizza and doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I did pizza last year. I'll probably do like Wingstop or something this year, just to like mix it up. In terms of game day food to make, I have this like spicy Italian sausage queso dip type thing that I really like to make. I've tweeted about it a few times. And then a few years ago, my mother-in-law showed me how to make these like mini hot dogs wrapped in bacon. And then you drizzle them in like brown sugar and barbecue sauce.
Cool.
And then you like cook them on the smoker for a little bit. Mm. Those are really good.
Nice. Yeah. Pizza and wings.
Hard to beat. It's great football food.
Let's throw this up there because it just jumped up. Thoughts on the Broncos' new uniforms?
Oh my gosh, they're so bad. They look just like Virginia.
They're literally Virginia Tech's uniforms. I watched that. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I watched Christian Darrisaw a couple years ago in those uniforms. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen these before.
the shoulder things, I'm like, what are those? Like, they look like mini little like lightning bolts potentially. I'm confused by those for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. As McKenzie points out, like, why didn't they go with the throwbacks? A lot of teams should just go to the throwbacks. They look great.
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make you a better or worse team, but
yeah. And their white helmets look exactly like Boise State's white helmets. Like, it looks like they literally just copied and pasted them. So I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
it's the Chargers started the whole like modern, clean, like uniform renaissance, if you will. Mm-hmm. But now we've gone like too far. Like, orange and blue and white is too boring. Like, you need to do the throwback or some other combinations here. So, yeah, I'm kind of a uniform snob. I mean, we're Chargers fans. Like, we get to be.
Yeah.
And I don't love the whole like new trends that these teams are doing.
No, I don't. It's kind of wild. Like, the Chargers uniforms are so good that everyone universally just liked them. Like, division rivals, NFC fans, it didn't matter. Like, they all liked them. Yeah. That's how good those uniforms were.
Also, the Broncos have a Navy kit that looks exactly like the Chargers Navy kit. Like, literally looks like a copy paste with just like the Broncos logo on it.
Yeah.
Like, who, like, what is
it? Buy it at Walmart, $13.99.
Literally.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Brady, good question here. Top five players you'd want at 11 in a trade down.
I don't know if I can give a specific order yet, but let me look at the board. So 11. Okay. So Arnold, Newton, Murphy. I want to say Thomas. Okay. I'll say Thomas and one of the offensive linemen. I'll go Latham, but I don't really care which lineman at that point. Oh, Bowers. Yeah, sure. Bowers. If he's there. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, I would say top three would be Bowers, Arnold, and Newton for me. Brian Thomas is my 12th graded player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want him at 11. I don't know. It's weird for me. Like I think he's, if you want him, you probably have to take him there. I don't think he makes it to 23. But so I'm going to leave him off. I will say, so Bowers, Arnold, Newton, Byron Murphy, and man, the fifth one's tough.
Pick the lineman.
Yeah. I just talked about that though. Like if they pick a guard at 11, I don't know if I love that, you know?
Yeah.
I'll say Fuanga at 11, because I think he has like the most like legit staying power at tackle. Like I have a heart, like,
yeah,
I think he is, like, I have an easier time picturing Latham, Fautanu, Barton playing guard long-term. Mm-hmm. For me, Fuanga is like a tackle all day.
You know, if you're concerned about future, like 2025 stuff, obviously I don't like the fact that he won't probably play in 2024 unless he wins. But if you're Joe Moore Award winner two times in a row, best lineman, best developing lineman, you know where I'm going?
Amarius Mims.
Mm-hmm. Dude, like, if you believe in yourself.
He's such a freak.
And they would give you kind of a built-in excuse to see what you have with Pipkins. Let Mims, like, you haven't seen a ton of Mims. Like, if you think you can hit a ceiling, and they can because they have the best, like, their offensive line is going to be great. They're going to develop. Mims is your best bet for the highest ceiling, and you find out a way to get that guy to his peak and healthy.
So highest ceiling in the class, not named Joe Alt.
I mean, I think he has the highest ceiling in the class, period.
Period. Okay. All right.
He's ceiling. Ceiling.
The floor is probably lower than like 9 other guys.
Yeah, the floor is concerning. Don't get me wrong. I've said that I'm staying away from Mims because I don't like that uncertainty. But the Chargers obviously feel comfortable with Joey Bosa and resurrecting his career.
Yeah.
I'd get it. I would get it.
Yeah. But I can totally see where you're coming from. I think for me, the consensus here is 11 would be Bowers or like one of the defensive players. Cause I would have Arnold, Newton, and Murphy graded higher than the linemen. I know that like the Chargers probably will take an offensive lineman, but those other defensive players, I think I would have graded higher. So that's where I would lean towards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brett Gardner in here asking, where do you rank priority for defense, cornerback, DT, linebacker for him personally?
Yeah, sounds about right. Corners by far number one. They literally do not have players. Defensive tackle probably applies there too. Although obviously they have three edge rushers, so they can kind of make that work.
Yeah.
And then linebacker, I would argue maybe even safety over linebacker, but I mean, they have Gilman.
Yeah.
I don't mind as much. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I agree with this trio here.
Yeah. This is my list as well. Donnie Blends, who's a prospect you don't want to see on a division rival? For him, it's Arnold to the Raiders. Laiatu to the Raiders is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You said that a couple of times before. Mm-hmm. But anybody else for you, Tyler?
Yeah, if Ladd McConkey falls to the Chiefs, I'm going to quit. we'll see the postseason in 2025 or something. That just wouldn't be – that would suck. I really think any receiver, you know, name the receiver going to Chiefs is bad.
Yeah.
I would hate that. Who else? Who are the players I hope the Raiders don't get? You know, like the Broncos getting Bowers would suck.
Yeah.
Or anyone. I hate playing Denver's defense, no matter who's been the coach. So like get them getting Newton or Murphy if they wanted to go that route. That would suck.
Any of them getting Michael Hall would be very disappointing.
Yeah. He's one of my, I don't know. I don't want any good players to go to the Raiders because they're not going to be end up being good players. So
yeah. Any of the Utah guys end up on the other teams, I'm upset. Like, Cole Bishop is such a Chief. I hate it, but like, he's such a Chief. You know what I mean? Like, it just like fits them so perfectly.
Yep.
The Broncos have drafted like a ton of Utah guys. So that's not a surprise if they take another one, although they've changed regimes and stuff like that. But yeah, any Utah guys going to the Raiders, going to the Chiefs, I'm upset. Super chat here from Cody. Any potential player for pick trades you can think of during the draft? Which Chargers could be traded for picks? There's a lot of stuff about like Patrick Surtain right now. There's a lot of stuff, you know, surfacing around some of the wide receivers. Any potential Chargers players you see traded on draft weekend though, Tyler?
I mean, if you know, unless Palmer throws a tantrum or something, which I don't think will happen.
If they take Alt,
don't you dare say what you're about to say.
I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't shock me if they take Alt and somebody offers them a third round pick for Trey.
Oh, I thought you meant Rashawn.
No.
Okay.
100% not. 100% not. No.
No, well, at that point, if you get a third round pick for your backup tackle, like, God bless, but you know, a third round pick
is probably a stretch, but
yeah,
considering Keenan went for a
fourth. Donald Parham's not a bad call. Maybe Telesco wants another one of his guys. Not that they really traded to the Raiders, but I don't know. Who else?
Morgan.
I was going to say him, but then again, it's just like plug one hole, another one opens up. Like, it's just not a,
yeah,
they don't have the bodies.
Yeah.
No one's, I was gonna say JT Woods, but no, I don't think anyone's trading for JT Woods.
No, because they could just wait until August.
Yeah.
It's mean, but true.
It would have to be Telesco maybe wanting a former guy.
Yeah, or Staley wanting a former guy in San Francisco. Although I don't know how much
we're all gone.
I don't know how much staying power the associate head coach has in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Derek Ansley is not the defensive coordinator, but maybe.
Joey's pretty unmovable, right?
Yeah.
He restructured.
Yeah.
This was a pre-restructure discussion.
Yeah. You cannot move Joey Bosa. That's like, you take on way more dead cap than had you just cut him or traded him before. So
yeah.
Next one here from Oz. Will QJ have a 1,000 or 1,100 yard season as a Charger? And then I don't know if there was a second part there, but probably leaning no, unfortunately.
This is the Wizard of Oz speaking, and he's selling us false hope. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I'm going to say no. Mostly because this isn't exactly the offense that affords your wide receiver two to be an 1,100 yard guy.
Yeah.
Like, it would have to be Palmer goes down immediately and they don't draft a wide receiver one. Quentin Johnson is your wide receiver one and they just spam away with, that's a big jump.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely takes injuries for him to get there. But I guess if he is wide receiver one in the future, then yeah, it's possible. But, you know, in a world where they draft somebody at five, it's tough. Another Quentin Johnson question here from Knightser. Anyways, great work, guys. Given that Q Johnston's value is low, what could the Chargers get as far as draft capital for him?
Well, I think he might have an 1,100 yard season as a Charger. No, I'm kidding.
Well, now that you mentioned he's potentially on the block. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually really good. Wide receiver, too. A seventh round pick swap.
Yeah. I mean, Denzel Mims went for a sixth round pick, I think.
Hmm.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, same kind of thing. So I'm trying to remember what Van Jefferson was also a sixth round pick. So that's probably it.
Yeah.
If you're asking if the Chargers trade with Minnesota, do you see them trade number 23 for second and third rounders this year?
Oh, okay. So they trade back to whatever the second round pick is and pick up a third.
Yeah.
I think they would actually get more than that. I think if they traded back into the second round with like Carolina, I guess I could look. So let's say,
because I mean, the Chargers gave up their second and third to move up to get Kenneth Murray, which is fun to.
Yeah, thanks for that one.
That third became Justin Madubuike, by the way.
Oh yeah, you think he's pretty good?
Pretty good player.
That's about 200 points. Actually, it would be about. I guess it depends on who's moving. If it's to 33, which is obviously the earliest you can get to in the second round, that would pick up. They'd probably have to give up the third round pick, and maybe you give them back a sixth. I like the fifth year option. And the guy's at 23.
Yeah, trading completely out of the first round, I don't know if I'm crazy about, but like if you're at 23 and I'm not giving the Chiefs or Bills more ammo, but some NFC team wants to trade up. Like if the Lions want to come up to 23, you could get like an extra third round pick. I would be about that situation, but I think the fifth year option is too valuable. I think you'd have to get a really nice combination for me to move off of 23 and get only day two capital.
Mm-hmm.
Steven asking about which prospect has suffered the most from draft fatigue in this year's cycle.
It was almost Johnny Newton, but I think we've come back around on that.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers, probably, because everyone just starts mocking him to the late teens or 20s for some reason. And then, you know, Bijan goes as early as he does. It's like last year. I don't know if it's draft fatigue, but I've heard so much against Joe Alt from Chargers fans where it's like
Chargers wise, definitely Alt.
I don't know if it's like fatigue if you were always against the pick.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Joe Alt sucks. Joe Alt's terrible. I'm like, he's allowed, I think, 5 quarterback hits in 3 years. So you could do worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Alt is good. Cooper DeJean's another one from Chargers fans. I do think Kool-Aid McKinstry is being a little underrated in this class. Like, I think some people think he's like a second round pick, and I don't understand that completely. Yeah, that's probably my, yeah, Kool-Aid probably would be the one.
This isn't draft fatigue, but I see Jackson Powers Johnson's stock has fallen quite a bit. That's not a fatigue issue as much as a new
medical issue.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a food question, of course. Another one. Sholo Man wants me to drop our famous pretzel jello recipe. Do you know what pretzel jello is?
Jello. It basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a jello version of like strawberries and cream with pretzels. I don't like jello in any form personally. But my wife Brooke loves pretzel jello for Christmas. For her dad, it's like a must. For Christmas dinner, they gotta have the pretzel jello. So this isn't just a Utah thing. You have heard of pretzel jello then?
I've eaten pretzel jello. My mom makes pretzel jello. She's from Philly. Okay. So it's not like a, it's good. It's really good. As long as like, if it's just jello and pretzels, it's not great. But if you have like the, not the whipped cream, but like a.
So it's like jello, whipped cream, strawberries, and then pretzels, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if your mom's still in the chat. If she is, she can correct me there. But
it's basically that. I couldn't tell you what order, but no, I think it's good.
Yeah, no, it's not my favorite. I'm scarred because in Utah they eat Jell-O all the time at like every family thing, and I'm just like, not my thing.
I think that's my green bean casserole, but
that's my version of that's fair. I didn't have green bean casserole until I moved here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Question from Michael Boyd. Most likely trade down scenario if JJ goes fourth and a team wants Marvin Harrison Jr., preferably one that would land us Bowers.
So Popper chose the Jets. We floated the Bears, although the Bears have like 3 picks this year. Diana Rossini floated the idea of the Titans moving up for Harrison. I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you'd move down 2 spots, and I don't know.
But and what would you do though? Like you just take,
Odunze at 7.
That just feels stupid to me.
Just take the better X receiver. Yeah, no.
God, who did we trade with yesterday? Had a ton of picks. Was it Jackson? Jacksonville's got a
Jacksonville has a ton, but then you're moving all the way down to 17, 18. No,
17.
Yeah.
To me, if you're not drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. for some reason, just acquire as much capital as possible. Yeah. Like at that point, if you go find a haul.
Yeah, I would say Jets would be like the team I would think would be most likely. Just because I think they feel desperate and reportedly Aaron like is vehemently like get me a weapon, not like an offensive tackle, like he wants more weapons. So what Aaron Rodgers gets or what Aaron Rodgers wants, he's gonna get. So that would be a choice. I think Popper had it as, because they don't have a second round pick this year, so Popper had them getting a third round pick this year and a second round pick next year, but I don't think that's enough to move off of Marvin Harrison Jr. personally. But I do think the Jets are the most likely team to trade up in this scenario.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one from Brian. Will we take Michigan players over best player? I guess it depends on who and what, where, and when. Like Sanders still at 37, I think is arguably the best player available at that point.
Yeah,
give or take who's there. I think, okay, let's say you get to 69, like Chris Jenkins might be the best player available there, give or take.
Yeah, if they take Jenkins at 37, I'm going to be upset. That's like this is a Michigan guy, and we're picking the Michigan player.
Yeah.
So, but if they take Samer still, or I know you don't love this, but I this team, if they want Junior Colson, it's got to be at 37 at this point. Mm-hmm. Brugler, Jeremiah, Tom Pelissero have all talked about Junior Colson potentially sneaking into the first round. So I would be on board with it at 37. I know people wouldn't be like crazy about that. On like day three, maybe. Yeah, you just take a shot at Michael Barrett, or you take a shot at Josh Wallace or John Wallace.
Josh. Wallace.
You know, just because you know who they are and things like that. So day three, I think this is probably more in play.
Day three, you know, take the familiarity, take the guys you know. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Colson at 37, I wouldn't mind. Your linebacker one versus your wide receiver nine, or hopefully you've addressed wide receiver.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. I would get that. Your number one prospect at the position, that's fine. I am waiting until round four for Corum. If you can get that far, we're good. Like, I totally get round four for Corum. But at 69, and you have like no, like, you know, Popper did his mock and he drafted a guard and then a corner, a slot corner, and then Corum, and then then Walker. And it's like, who's your outside corner?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's Fulton. It's Asante Samuel Jr. and Fulton, which is a lot of question marks for me.
Yeah, no, this team cannot afford to take a running back until round four, in my opinion. I need a starter at wide receiver, corner, defensive tackle, at minimum, before I'm comfortable taking a running back. And I would take a guard before I would take a running back.
Yeah, and essentially you're taking, at best, your RB2 with Corum. Which I guess is true for everyone, but like
your RB2 is going to be 28 years old when he's still on his rookie contract. No, thank you.
Yeah. There's too many starting needs, too many starting issues.
Yeah. Yeah. FBS said somebody pointed out that the Broncos news look like Blue Mountain State. They totally do. Now that you bring that up, they totally do. I thought this question from Dennis was interesting. Chargers have a last place schedule this year, so playoff is in the picture. And a real head coach, that's easy 5-game swing from last year without Staley. What do you think the game swing is for Mr. Jim Harbaugh?
I can't believe I'm asking this question. Did they win 5 games?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 5. Yeah.
Clearly, I... tuned out. They were just racking up losses and I didn't care at that point.
So you're talking about a 10 win team with Harbaugh.
Let's roll through it. Let's say I don't have them beating the Chiefs once.
Lose in Mile High.
So let's say they go 2-2. I know people hate me for the Raiders. Like the Chargers also have a problem winning in Vegas now.
Yeah.
So let's say they go 2-2. So 2 wins there. They're not beating the Ravens. They'll beat the Saints. The Buccaneers feels... is that home? That helps. Titans. That's a win. Falcons, Panthers, Patriots. Oh, they play the Cardinals. Oh, oh boy.
Yeah. So, okay. So you have the splitting Raiders and Broncos. And then I would say you have Arizona, New England, Carolina, Atlanta. That's 6. And Tennessee, 7. So I think you have 7 at minimum on here. Maybe you can swing some of the other games, but I would feel comfortable predicting right now 7-10.
Yeah. I can get to 9. If they get Marvin Harrison Jr., yeah, I think we have a very different conversation. And then, but yeah. That's true. Denver doesn't have a quarterback, but I don't know that they've had one.
Broncos could put Sean Payton at quarterback, and I would not predict a win in Mile High. Like, it's just
cursed ground, man.
I just refuse to do it. I mean, like, they couldn't beat Drew Locke at quarterback. Like, the ghost of Russell Wilson. Like, it's just, I'm sorry, it's not happening in my lifetime for whatever
reason. No. I mean, they lost to 8. I mean, yeah, them and in Vegas now. I mean, just a train wreck every time they go there. The worst games.
I was sitting here thinking like, oh, like Vegas hasn't been that bad. And then I remembered that it was the 63-21 game.
Not their finest moment.
No. They lost in 2022 in Vegas too, right?
Oh yeah, they've lost every game in Vegas so far.
That was the Keenan Allen game where he was like chirping and yeah, okay. No, yeah. They won. They won in overtime in 2020.
Oh, that's right.
On Thursday Night Football, the I was in game, but still one of the four. That's not great.
Yeah.
Brendan, that Hardwick and Herbert pick was awesome. It was awesome. I was not expecting it. I guess it's like I never even thought that they wouldn't have enough centers at practice to snap. So Hardwick has just jumped in and was working at center today. So it was really cool to see.
Yeah, Joe Ortiz said they felt comfortable with a couple of guys that could snap
the ball. Turns out one of them was the coach.
Yeah, I think that's what they meant. But, you know, if you can get them for the coach contract instead of the center contract, hey, that's one way to cut corners.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool to see, though. He's jacked, so I don't know if everybody on here follows him on Instagram, but he's, like, super fit nowadays. So
yeah, he is. Him.
The post-offensive line transition has been very kind to him.
As I talk about eating pizza on Thursday while sitting on my ass for 5 hours.
Hey, you know what? He was a professional athlete, so it's tough to compare. Cameron wants to know, more likely, Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5 or Newton falls to 37? Peter Schrager has been on this. I think Mel Kiper too. A lot of people don't think Johnny Newton goes in the first round, which is like blasphemy to me. But what do you feel like here is more likely for the Chargers specifically?
I'll still say Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5 is more likely. I just think there's obviously only one team that has to pass on Marvin Harrison Jr. Granted, that team's going to take him. I just don't see, unless there's something about Newton we don't know, which is possible, I don't see him getting past that many teams all the way to 37. But where did Brian Branch go? 40 something?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But with the way like defensive tackle has been trending towards becoming a premium position, it's the same thing with Michael Hall. Like the whole thing about Michael Hall is like, oh, like he's only an interior pass rusher, defensive tackle. It's like, and do you see who's getting paid in the league right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think Newton goes round one. So I think the answer here is Marvin Harrison Jr. because I would say a team trading up to 4 for a quarterback is more likely than a guy like Newton falling in the first round.
Yeah.
Or falling out of the first round.
Mm-hmm. Would be fun, though.
It would be fun. It would be super fun if they get Johnny Newton at 37. Cameron, again, super chat here. Over under 1.5 Michigan players drafted or 2.5?
Over 1.5. I'll say 2. So over 1.5, under 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. One on day 2, one on day 3, I think is what it would be. Unless they like trade back like 4 times and just end up with like 14 picks.
Hmm.
Mackenzie in here. Appreciate Mackenzie. One of our first giveaway winners on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a long time supporter of the show. So appreciate it. Make the case for Odunze and make the case for Neighbors at pick number 5.
Do you want to take one? I'll take the other.
Sure. Who do you want to take?
I mean, I'll take Odunze, I guess, because we've sort of just discussed him. So you're not going to find another better option at X receiver later in the draft. I think there are more ways to find other yak, you know, movement, Z types, slot types, etc. I think you can find even 2 guys later in the draft that can replicate a bit of what Neighbors can do. A bit of what he can do. Odunze is... there's not many other guys like him. We did this in our other guys episode, and we really couldn't find other bigger X types that could go out there and play outside of maybe Polk. And that's a bit of a risk waiting for him to get to 37 when I forget who it was. Was it Schrager who had him going first round?
Yeah, Schrager and I think Josh Norris had him first round.
Yeah. So, and then what? You're looking for your other X? I don't know. He's also got a higher success rate versus man, press, double, and zone than Neighbors. He's a safer prospect, I think. He fits your system more. There's more certainty with how they're going to use Odunze than Neighbors. He's a TED guy. He punctured his lungs and fractured his rib and got 103 yards per game, still recovering from that. if you watch the Michigan tape, not the stats, not the stat line, not the box score, Odunze was wide open plenty of times, and he had 80-something yards, I think, as is, playing with that injury. So I think he showed up against Michigan in a way that I think Harbaugh would respect. And what else? That's mostly it, I think. Oh, he's also just worth the pick. Like genuinely believe he's worth the selection. Daniel Jeremiah has him as over neighbors. Benjamin Solak has him over neighbors. It's not like this is a Quentin Johnston kind of reach. Like, people will react to this like it's Johnston over neighbor or over Flowers. But like, Odunze deserves the right to be considered for the fifth pick.
Yeah, that's all very well said there. I think the case for Malik Nabers is really just centered around his explosive playmaking ability and also maybe some untapped potential here. Mm. So maybe this is kind of like a ceiling versus floor conversation for Odunze or for Nabers. If you believe you can hit Nabers' ceiling, you're potentially looking at like a Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill type of speed level threat. My favorite stat about Nabers so far in this draft cycle is that if you combined Marvin Harrison Jr. and a bunch of these other guys, Rome Odunze, if you combine four of them, they still had less missed tackles forced than Nabers did. Nabers forced 30 missed tackles this past season. Marvin Harrison Jr. only forced 5. Rome Odunze forced 15. So it's the ability to take any pass and take it to the house that only Odunze only Nabers has in this class, in my opinion. So it's an explosive play conversation. It's a ceiling conversation for Nabers. I totally understand why fans love him so much. But at the same time, like, you could also make a strong argument, just like Tyler did, that pivots towards Rome Odunze.
Yeah. You're good either way. Pick the player you're going to be the most right about.
It's easier said than done, Tyler.
Well, I mean, pick the player you feel you're going to be the most right about.
There you go. I think it's, you know, they're right there neck and neck. I think Chargers fans should celebrate either way. If that's Odunze or Nabers, I think everybody on this chat should be happy.
They won't be.
Brandon wondering what your guys' thoughts on Peyton Wilson. I know Colson is the favorite option. Just curious how you would feel about him being our second round pick.
I honestly wouldn't mind it. I genuinely believe he's a very, very good prospect. This linebacker class isn't great. I truly believe that Peyton Wilson's an awesome linebacker prospect, but he's a huge risk. And
yeah,
the multiple season ending injuries there, and significant history of injuries that maybe weren't season ending, that's rough for me. A pick at 37 for a player who's missed that many games and has had their season ended that many times by an injury, I don't love that.
Yeah, that's really where it comes down to for me. I think 37 in a vacuum is fine value for a player that's graded like that. So I have him graded 49 just because of the injuries. Like, film wise, yeah, I think his film grade is like worthy of taking him at 37. Mm-hmm. The injuries just kind of terrify me, and it's worse than you think. Like, we talk about it, but if you look at how Zane Brugler has it broken down, it's like an ACL in high school, an ACL in college, a meniscus shoulder in college, two shoulder injuries in college, a couple concussions. Like, it's bad. It's really bad. And I think that's probably why he falls later in the draft than people want him to, because it's a longevity thing. You never know. I mean, like, very different injuries. Leighton Van Rush had a neck issue, but that's like what the position can lead to. If you take a linebacker with that kind of injury concern, he could be looking at retirement like within 4 years. And so it's just, yeah, it's scary for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... yeah, I'll pass on that one. Speaking of scary, Gabriel is asking about off-topic question. As the ball gets rolling this year, any advice getting through this election cycle? Football season and the election start together. I'm already stressed. Well, if you live in California, the outcome is pretty much set for you. California will vote a certain way, so don't feel like you have to stress over it, I think, too much.
Yeah.
Don't be on X. That was rough. 22. That election cycle was rough. Not this past one, although it wasn't great either, but the previous one was pretty rough. That was a toxic Twitter environment. Stay off social media. Don't bring it up at Thanksgiving. and just know that California is going to vote one way. So don't feel too stressed about what you have to decide, I think.
Yeah, I would say invest more of your energy into like local politics than national politics, especially in California, like I mentioned. And then mute words on Twitter is your friend. Like all of the mute settings in general, like the mute setting is like my favorite setting on Twitter. Take advantage of it. Mute every possible word that you want to keep your sanity. It's just not worth that much of your investment in time and energy wise. I think the more you stay away from it, the better, in my opinion. Yeah. Be informed, like be able to make the decisions and vote properly. But I'm staying far away from anybody who is wanting to talk about that going forward.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I have Snyder muted on my Twitter. Like Zack Snyder. Because all the Snyder stuff was just such a pain.
Did you watch Rebel Moon?
No, I've heard it's not been great.
No, and then I haven't watched it either because everybody, when it came out, was like, this is so terrible. And then I saw like 2 weekends ago that he wants to make like 6 of them.
I don't think they're going to let him make a third. Like Dune, that you should go make a third of those. Yeah. These ones, it sounds like they're pretty rough. And also just a blatant Star Wars ripoff.
Yeah. Like they literally have lightsabers in the trailer. I'm like,
like, I guess at some point someone else should be able to use laser swords and blasters. But like, that's Star Wars, guys. Like,
and they're red and blue, too.
Yeah.
Like you could have done like orange.
Yeah.
But that's my advice. Mute all the words on social media and don't put too much time and energy into it. Isaac wants to know if we are coffee people or energy drink people.
Unfortunately, both. My mom prefers that I would drink coffee over energy drinks.
Yeah,
it just kind of depends. Sometimes I just like a cold, like energy drink, as like a sort of soda sort of thing. If I'm sitting here, if I had to watch the draft for 5 hours, I'd take the energy drink. Coffee's gonna go nasty. So it depends. But on the weekends, like post gym coffee, I love. Like that to me is just a ritual I love.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge coffee drinker until recently when we got an espresso machine for Christmas. And now it's like every morning. I love the espresso machine because for me, if you get like a random batch of coffee, like it can just be like really bitter and like like way too strong for me. So I need it to be like more smooth, not super sweet. Like I don't like the super sweet drinks.
Yeah.
It has to be just kind of like a smooth like drink for you. And I think that espresso does that beautifully.
Yeah.
If you are a coffee drinker, I strongly encourage an espresso machine because it has been life-changing. Very expensive. But life-changing.
Yeah. You know, per cup versus Starbucks is probably cheaper overall.
Yeah, dude, if you get like a grande from Starbucks now, it's like $7.
Yeah. So I actually didn't start drinking coffee until you and I went to Vegas and watched the game, and I had a horrible sore throat, and Starbucks was the only thing that was open. So I think I got a warm coffee and like a hot apple juice. I'm like, I'll take anything to see if it works.
That's right.
And I was like, all right, this isn't bad. The next morning I had some great. And yeah, that actually kicked off my coffee, was me being horribly sick in Vegas after the Chargers got eliminated from the postseason. That was a fun evening.
Yeah. No, I remember we were like at that Marriott hotel, and you were like and I was like, do you want some tea? I can make you some tea. And then you just ordered some Starbucks tea and it worked out. Yeah.
I went through all the tea that they had at the place. Like, and then the next day they restocked. And I was like, thank God. And I went through that as well. It sucked. Like I'd be okay. And then I just wake up like just coughing and I could not go back to sleep. I promise that's not normally me.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. And then I remember in when we were in Vegas for the draft, I had you try like the vanilla sweet cream cold brew from Starbucks, and you liked that one.
Yeah, I had that one before. I ordered one for Arjun, is what it was. We went through the drive-thru. Arjun was not a coffee drinker. And I got him a Trenta vanilla sweet cream cold brew.
That's right.
A shot. I was like, here you go, buddy. Have fun.
Yeah. It's like the child size in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then at UCI, like, everyone in my cohort, for some reason, liked the vanilla sweet cream cold brew. So that just kind of became my go-to. Because like it was just our thing as a cohort.
Yeah. Okay, a couple other questions in here, and then we'll head out. Where was it? I saw one that I liked.
Double check. We didn't get any. Real quick on the super chat from Don. Will the Navy unis curse end in this regime? LOL. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe in that. Personally, but I think they've just picked bad games for the Navy. Like they played the Patriots 3 times in the Navy. That's, like pick an easier game.
Falcons Navy.
The Bills in Buffalo. Like pick a better game.
Yeah, that's rough.
Play like the Titans in the Navy this year, please.
Yeah.
Ben wants to know early pick for training camp darling this year.
There's no way it's not Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
Unless they take Marvin Harrison Jr. Like if the receiver, they have to take him at 5. That's the darling because naturally, but if they don't, every faux caster out there is going to be gassing up Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
Deservedly so or not. But we saw how it went last year. Like everyone, you know, go check your reporting, Daniel. Everyone was gassing up Quentin last year.
Yeah.
And I think he deserved it, honestly, from camp. Like, I think he deserved a lot of the hype that he got.
Yeah, the receivers and the corners always get a lot of hype in training camp. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Asante Samuel had 4 interceptions this week and, like, everybody's back on the train. So,
yeah. Zion will probably get a lot of attention. I don't know, Gus Edwards, because he'll be just enormous.
Yeah, that's true. But training camp is so hard for running backs to make in it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, safe bet is a receiver, a corner. I have a really good feeling about Thule. So maybe he kind of pops in training camp. And, you know, like Khalil and Joey get some vet days off kind of stuff. And yeah, I'm excited for the one-on-ones. Get Slater healthy against this edge rusher crew. Should be a lot of fun. Teresa Kapapas, I was gonna ask, I was gonna put that one up too. Jason Bourne versus James Wan versus John Wick, who you got? This is John Wick unequivocally for me. That you're talking about a legit like assassin that's his entire life. So James Wan is the weakest of this bunch, in my opinion, but I would pick John Wick for sure.
Yeah. You know, after the first movie, more of a debate. Well, spoilers, 2 people on this list are dead. In terms of their canon and who has recently played them. But by the time you get to John Wick, like 3 and 4, where he's kind of also invincible in some regard, like there's a bit of a mythological, like he can sustain and take damage sort of thing. He's got a bulletproof suit. And we've seen him just clear out entire rooms and buildings. I don't think Bond or Bourne have really done that.
Yeah. I would say Wick, then Bourne, then Bond. That would be my choice. Favorite Wick movie?
Jeez, dude. I mean, the first one is the first one because I expected nothing. My friend and I went to go see that movie with zero expectations.
Same.
And like we'd say, okay, the Keanu movie. Like it looks interesting, but whatever. And then we had, after that point, we made it a point, no matter where we live, to see each next John Wick movie together.
Yeah.
Just because like that first one was so different, you know, the way just the writing and the crispness of it, you know, it's got less showy stuff, but you know, when he talks like, you know, hey, he stole his car and killed his dog. And the guy's like, oh, and we were just like, oh
yeah,
you know, that was a good one.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about the first one and I was like, people explain it as like, oh, like this guy is like an ex-spy and then like they kill his dog and he gets all mad. And I'm like, well, I really like Keanu Reeves, but like, I don't know if I want to go watch that. And then like everybody was like, this is amazing. You have to go watch it. So same kind of thing, man. I I think in terms of just the movie, I think the second one is probably better, but the first one was just, like you said, it was so different at the time. Mm-hmm. Action movies are definitely like way back now. Like there's a ton of them out, but you know, when the first Wick movie came out, it wasn't necessarily like a huge thing still. Like it was still a lot of like the fantasy and a lot of the, you know, other stuff, comedies, but John Wick 1 was just like different for its time.
Yeah. So I go one, then I think four, mostly for that last hour. I think everything in France was awesome.
Yeah.
Donnie Yen was great, obviously. Who was the bad guy in two? I don't know, he had to like do another task or something.
Yeah. Was that was that the one where they get where he goes to Italy, or is that the third?
I don't remember.
I think I've had so much stuff on my brain. Like it's
graduation travels a lot.
Season. It's you know, draft season. Brain's a little overloaded right now. But yeah, love John Wick movies. All right, couple super chats here. Austin Smith says, please neighbors at five, I can't have the best speed deep threat at my wide receiver in my lifetime be Travis Benjamin. I would say Tyrell Williams would be that guy personally. Different kind of body type, but
yeah, define lifetime. Okay. I guess, yeah, Tyrell Williams.
Because Vincent and Floyd were weren't that speed guys.
Yeah.
I guess
you can find speedy threats later on too, guys, but
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, next one here from Don Cheto. He says, what do you think the mindset will be of young wide receiver in Johnson if another young wide receiver is picked at number five?
Take on Keenan's mindset, like you're gonna do what now? And then be his, you know, get after it. I think it should push him. I don't know much of his history. Like, I do think Johnson works hard. I don't think it will be anything where he's like, oh, I can't handle the pressure of another receiver over me, especially after being wide receiver four to start the season.
Yeah.
So I think he'll embrace the fresh start, impressing the new coaching staff, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think his mindset that he said, you know, publicly at least, that he's ready to improve. He was ready to get after it. You know, he's been in all the workouts so far. I think he wants to improve. It's not a question of desire. I just think he just had longer to go than I think people thought initially when he was picked, and myself included there.
Yeah. Well, right, no, you're fine.
You're good. Go I was going to say last one here from Steven that we'll head out of here. All or nothing bet, which player from the draft will be picked by the Chargers. I assume this is like across all 3 days. But Tyler, if you had to bet on one specific player to be picked by the Chargers this weekend, who would you choose?
Mike Sanders still.
That's a good one. The Michigan players are the easy ones. My first thought was Chris Jenkins, but outside of that, trying to think of like all the Harbaugh guys that we've talked about so much.
Yeah.
Junior Colson's a good one. Again, the three Michigan guys are obvious. I think unfortunately Blake Corum is as well. Man, this is a tougher question than I thought it would be now that I'm taking like Michigan is off the list.
I'm running into the problem of I think it would have been easier to pick some of these guys before free agency.
Yeah.
Like maybe one of the running backs, but then now you have Gus Edwards.
Maybe this is like trying to will into existence, but Hunter Norzad, I think, checks a lot of boxes for them. Need familiarity in terms of like they played him in the Big Ten, football character. So I'll say Norzad. I love the guy, so maybe that's just it. But Norzad, I think, is a good choice.
Let me see if I can just go through each position just for the heck of it. Tackle, most likely Walter Rouse, I guess. Interior would have been Norzad for me. Tight end, let's go. Sinnott. Running back, let's go. I got to say Blake Corum, unfortunately. Edge, give me... Honestly, actually, I could take Braden McGregor there, considering they don't need one early. Linebacker, I don't know, Colson, I guess, but I don't really watch any linebackers. Receiver, let's outside of the first round, let's go... Actually, I take it back. Running back might be Marshawn Lloyd, given the position coach.
Yeah.
Receiver, Anaya Smith.
I don't cornerback know. Wise, I might choose Max Milton. Like, I know, like,
yeah,
that's a guy that we love, but you know, he fits the size, speed profile. They need somebody who can play maybe outside and inside. You know, in terms of athleticism on day two, he might be the best one there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Good choices for sure.
Cool.
All right, you guys, that's going to do it for us tonight. Appreciate all the great questions. We went for an hour 20, which is longer than I said we would. So that's because you guys asked good questions. So hopefully you enjoyed this Q&A. We are less than 48 hours out of the NFL draft now. So it is rapidly approaching, and we're super excited to cover all of it. So like I've said before, we'll be live all weekend long. Make sure and subscribe, tune in, comment. Let's have a great time this weekend. Bring some positive vibes. Tell a friend to come tune in as well. And should be a lot of fun. So that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you guys on Thursday on draft night. This has been the Guilty as Charged podcast. Signing off, as always, Bolt Up.